On it. But last week was the passage on the coming Antichrist, which will take place after the rapture. And after explaining all of that to the church, Paul then reminds them that we have a responsibility to stand fast. Stand fast in our doctrines, stand fast in our faith. And that's what this passage is about here, starting in verse 13. He says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." So stand fast and hold. That is our title tonight. Let's pray. We pray for your wisdom. We pray for your presence, your guidance tonight, Lord, that you would use your word to teach and grow us. And Lord, as we come together later to pray one for another, may that be a special time for our congregation. We give you this service and ask that you be glorified through it. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen. So Paul reminding them that, yes, they have been challenged. Remember, by people sending fake epistles. They have been challenged by people coming in and saying that the return of Jesus Christ either had already happened or wouldn't happen. And he's saying that you have salvation in Christ. You need to stand fast. You're going to be tested. But he's reminding them there in verse 13, "He hath chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit." If you're a born-again Christian, that's you. Hallelujah. God doesn't teach in his word that he pre-selects people to be saved, but time means nothing to God, and he knew in advance who would be saved. But those of us who are saved, as it says, we are sanctified. That means set apart for God's use, for God's purpose. When did this happen? Verse 13, belief of the truth. The day that you believed the gospel of Jesus Christ was the day that you received salvation. Look at Ephesians 1 quickly, if you would, verse 12, which explains this for us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. Bible says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Ephesians 1:13, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." So look what he's saying here in verse 12. Trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that what? Ye heard the word of truth, the gospel. So this is what happens. We hear the gospel, we hear the word of truth, and we trust Christ. And what does God do? He seals us with the Holy Spirit of promise. But it always comes down to believing the truth, trusting Jesus Christ. And Paul says here in 2 Thessalonians 2, "Whereunto he called you by our gospel." Paul often referred to the gospel of the church age, the gospel of the grace of God, as his gospel. He, in Romans 2:16, "judged the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." Many times Paul said, "my gospel, our gospel." Why is that? Because the gospel of the grace of God is in the age of the grace of God, and all of that was a mystery to the Old Testament saints until it was revealed through Paul. The mystery of the church age, the mystery that Gentiles and Jews would all be one body. All of these mysteries that have been revealed through Paul. Therefore, verse 15, because you have salvation in Jesus Christ, because you are sanctified, because of all these things, what do we need to do? Stand fast and hold. Hold the traditions. Now, don't be afraid of that word, traditions. Where do they come from? By word or epistle. So he's talking about the traditions that have been passed on by the word, the spoken word of the apostles, and the written epistles of the apostles, both of which ended up in here. Amen? As the Word of God. And what he's saying is, you need to stand fast and hold to what you've been taught through the Word of God. Hold fast these things that you've been taught because you're going to be tested. He's already explained this. And they'd already been tested. But God wants us to stand fast. Down in verse 17, which we'll get to, he says that God will establish us. That means to ground us, which is what we want, what we need to be grounded. If we're not grounded, we can't stand fast. But we'll talk about that later. But this is a scriptural principle. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:58, that God's children stand fast. What does that mean? Well, we have a lot to stand against, don't we? Ephesians chapter 6, passage on the armor of God. What does it say? Stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand. Stand for truth. Stand against sin. Stand against the world. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's us. We're to be steadfast. Stand fast. Unmovable. That's to be us. And we can't do that without God's help and without God's armor. While you're in 1 Corinthians, look at the next chapter, 16, verse 13. What does he say? Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Stand fast in the faith. Stand fast on your beliefs. Stand fast on the truth of God's word, because you will be tested. And it only gets worse from here. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So we're going to have more cults. We're going to have more false doctrines keep creeping up. It's not going to stop. It's going to just keep getting better or worse. Sorry. And we have to stand fast. When we get to heaven, it'll get better. You know what I was saying. Anyway, so God is saying, stand fast. And he's given us all that we need to do it. Look what it says in verse 16. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself, even God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation. Everlasting consolation. Isn't that beautiful? It means that God is there. I think in the next verse he uses the word comfort. Or 17, comfort your hearts. Where does this everlasting consolation come from? It comes from the Comforter, which Jesus told us would move in when we got saved. Amen? So, we're going to be tested, but you can stand fast because you have the Comforter. John 14:16, turn there, we'll see where Jesus promised that this would happen. John 14:16. Jesus explaining to his disciples here in the upper room that once he left the earth, he would send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. John 14, look at verse 16. It says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter that he may abide with you forever. That's everlasting consolation that we receive from the Holy Spirit who literally indwells us. But you know, it also comes from the Word of God. Go to Romans 15, verse 4, and we'll see this. This consolation. And so the comfort of the Holy Spirit. God is called the God of all comfort in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. But notice here in Romans 15, 4. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Comfort of the Scriptures. Isn't that beautiful? So God is saying you can stand fast because I have given you everlasting consolation. I have given you myself in the person of the Holy Ghost and the Comforter. So he's given us everlasting consolation. Therefore, we can stand fast. You know what else he's given us? 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Good hope. Now, he's talked a lot about this hope in these two epistles, hasn't he? But this hope gives us the strength to stand, knowing that we only have to stand for a short time, and knowing that the one who saved us is coming back to get us. Look at Romans 15:13, and we'll see this. We are commanded to abound in hope, the hope of the return of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Romans 15, verse 13, look what it says. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So through the power of the Holy Ghost, we not only receive everlasting consolation, we can abound in hope, which helps us to stand fast, knowing Jesus is coming soon. So we have good hope, we have everlasting consolation. Not only that, 2 Thessalonians 2:16, we have grace. Can't do much without God's grace, can we? James 4:6, he giveth more grace. 1 Peter 5:10, the God of all grace. God is a God of grace. He will always give us grace when we need it. And often when we're tested, and we need to stand fast, God's grace is there. His consolation is there. His hope, his grace. He gives all of this that we might stand fast. But the best way to stand fast is to be established. Look at verse 17. And establish you in every good word and work. What we say and what we do, God is establishing us. God is grounding us. He's using the Holy Spirit. He's using the Word of God. He's using the hope of the return of Jesus Christ, grace that He pours out upon us, so that we can go beyond the basics of the Christian life and be grounded, established in the faith. Let's look at some verses on this. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. God wants for every one of His children that they be established in the faith, established in every good word and work, that they might stand fast against the false doctrine, against the devil, against the flesh, against the world. Notice Colossians 2:6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Established in the faith. That's what God wants for each of us, that we be established. Look back at Ephesians 4:14, if you would. And God commands that we as Christians, we grow up. That's what it means to be established. It means you're grounded, you're maturing in your faith. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Be no more children. In what? In doctrine. We need to be established in the Word of God, established in our faith. Ephesians 5, well, let's look at it. Ephesians 5:13, it talks about it as well. Did I say Ephesians? I meant Hebrews. Sorry. Hebrews 5:13. This is what God wants for every believer, that we be established in every good word and work so that we might stand fast. And He gives us all the tools we need to make it possible. Hebrews 5:13, and everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. That's not talking about how long we've been alive physically. It's talking about how mature we are in our faith. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. God wants every believer to stand fast and hold. He's there for us. He's moved in. He's our everlasting consolation. He's given us this amazing hope of the return of Jesus Christ. He pours out His grace upon us. He does all of these things that we might get established or grounded in our faith so that we might stand fast And the need to stand fast is just going to become more and more urgent as we enter these last days. There's going to be more and more tests of our faith, more and more tests of our flesh, more and more tests from the world, from the devil. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. That's okay. We're going to heaven either way. So stand fast and hold. Hold on to what you believe. Hold on tight. Don't let go. God will establish you. God will give you grace. God will comfort you. God will guide you. And God will be there to help you and establish you in the faith so that you might stand fast. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Thank you for moving in when we got saved. We can't thank you enough for that, Lord, and for your grace, for the hope of the return of our wonderful Savior. Lord, for your presence. We just can't thank you enough for these things, Lord, and help us to keep growing, being established in the faith so that we might stand fast and hold when we are tested for you. And I pray that we would carry on and serve you as a good soldier always will. We thank you for speaking to our hearts, and we love you.